We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
75 yards goes Philip Lindsay. He's got Shea Fields out there. The grab of the 15. He cuts to his left. Inside of the defender. Dives to the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Colorado. I can't believe what we have witnessed in 2016.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our weekly podcast here at CUBuffs.com. It's Buffs Insider. We'll be doing this all season long, not just for football, but basketball, all the Olympic sports, talk about everything University of Colorado, along with Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com. I'm Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffaloes. And Neil, this time of year, as we get camp underway, they report tomorrow, Saturday, the first practice for the Buffaloes. And boy, you can almost feel the intensity and the anticipation for this upcoming season after a phenomenal 2016, in which the Buffs were a top 10 team, won the South, went to a bowl game, and boy, the expectations even higher here in 2017.
Yeah, I think the expectations have just continued from last year's, beginning with the offense. When you have that kind of offense coming back, all those wide receivers, you've got a good, maybe great young quarterback, very experienced offensive line, and of course you got Philip Lindsay. So this is a team that people have a lot of high expectations for, beginning with that offense.
You almost get the sense that the team, the staff, everybody around the program kind of relishes the fact there's this kind of attention.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, if you look back a year ago when we were sitting here and talking about this team, this was a team that was picked last in the Pac-12 South again last year. This was a team that people were saying might win four or five games. Mike McIntyre was supposed to be on the hot seat. Well, a year later, Mike McIntyre was the consensus national coach of the year. They won the Pac-12 South, went 8-1 in the conference, played for a conference championship. So certainly the coaching staff is excited. And I think the players are excited because I think the players still believe. There are a lot of people out there that don't believe in them, and I think that's going to be fuel a lot of momentum for them this year.
You know, last year the talk was the rise. Now it's never stopped rising, and one of the guys that epitomizes that in social media is Coach Shivarini, and I thought it was interesting the other day. He tweeted something out, something about the rise not being about wins and losses, but about being a culture change. And you kind of get the sense, coming off the success of a year ago, the culture has changed. The way the players are approaching, the way the coaches are approaching the off-season workouts, and now getting into camp here, there's a different feel about this thing.
Yeah, there is, and I think that's carrying through, like you said, from a year ago. This team believes that it's a good team. This program believes that it's a good program. A year ago, they kept telling us they were going to be good, and we said, well, that's nice. Glad to hear that. Well, you're going to have to prove it. Well, they proved it. They proved that this is a good program, and now – Their number one goal is to prove that last year was not a one-year aberration, that this program is here to stay, that is they never stop rising. And the players believe in themselves. They believe that they have got this thing pointed in the right direction. And Darren Cheverini was right. This is not about wins and losses. This is about establishing a culture here of long-term success, long-term winning, and a culture that will continue to refuel itself every year to the point that this program is reloading and not rebuilding.
We'll talk more about the schedule and kind of look towards the season as we kind of work through our podcasts a little bit. But I guess the point can be made. You talk about last year, the Buffs maybe surprised people, you know, snuck up on people. That's not happening anymore. You're wearing the championship shirt now, but Pac-12 South titles from a year ago. You're not sneaking up on him. In fact, you go from being the hunter to the hunted now in 2017.
And that's a big difference. You know, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Washington State, all those teams that Colorado beat from the South a year ago, they're not pointing to Colorado. A year ago, they were saying, well, Colorado's, you know, they looked at their schedule, and you know that behind closed doors, they were saying, well, Colorado, that's a win for us. It's not happening this year. That's going to be a whole different story. They're pointing to Colorado. Their players remember what it was like to get beat by Colorado last year. Their coaches definitely remember what it was like. And now Colorado, yeah, they're going into this season with a target on them. They're the defending Pac-12 South champs. And when you're the defending champs, it's a whole different ballgame.
You know how awesome it is just to be talking about that? I mean, this is my 14th season with the Buffs. We know, and listen, I don't need to tell Buff Nation how rough it was for a decade to be following this program, to be calling the games, to be covering it as you did, to be back in a position where Colorado was being talked about as one of the hunted, one of the teams we're looking at that could potentially win a championship once again, has All-Americans. I mean, that's a great feeling for those long-suffering fans.
Oh, it's a great feeling for the fans. It's a great feeling for the program, for the department. It's just a great feeling for the state because it brings back a little bit of pride in Colorado football. It brings back pride in the university, puts them back into a position where people talk about the University of Colorado in a bright light, and they say, hey, the Buffaloes are back. They're ready to play for another championship. And this team, there's no doubt in my mind, this team should once again be a contender for the Pac-12 South.
Well, with camp opening up again on Friday, Saturday is the first practice. And by the way, that also means that the kickoff luncheon is just around the corner as well. That's the 29th annual Boulder Chamber Colorado Kickoff Luncheon. It's going to be held Friday, August 25th, 2017 at the Baltz Fieldhouse. Doors opening up at 11:15. Program gets underway at noon. Rick George is going to speak. All kinds of folks. Obviously, Mike McIntyre. A lot of times we hear from the captains. Tickets start at $35. Corporate tables are available as well for $350. You can get yours at cubuffs.com/events. Get on out there. It's always a big event. All right, camp opening up. What do you think in 2017? What's the biggest question, do you think, for Colorado? It's got to be on the defensive side, isn't it?
Exactly. I think you hit it on the head right there. This is a defense that lost 8 starters from a year ago, 4 of them that were drafted in the NFL draft. It lost 3 coaches. So they've replaced a defensive coordinator, a linebackers coach, and a secondary coach. So if you're looking for question marks about the Colorado football team going into this season, it certainly has to start with the defense. How do they replace all those guys that they lost to the NFL draft? How do they replace How is this coaching staff going to react to coming in, starting fresh, starting? They got spring ball under their belt. How will they react?
Replacing a defensive coordinator, I guess Mike McIntyre was very careful when he went out. He hires DJ Elliott out of Kentucky, but he was very careful and specific about finding a guy that ran the same system. So that, well, DJ's the one that said he's the one that had to relearn things, mm-hmm. because he had to come up with a new terminology or learn the new terminology so that the players wouldn't. So I guess Coach Mack's view of this was, let's have as little ripple effect as possible.
And that's exactly what he wanted to do. The same terminology, the same scheme, the same thing. So the players went into the spring. They didn't have to learn much new. It was the coaching staff that actually had to learn, and it was fun to watch the coaching staff. They would be checking with players. Okay, what are we calling this? What's the terminology for this scheme? What's the terminology for this? So you had guys like Rick Gamboa, Afolabi, Laguda, the veterans on the team, actually helping the coaching staff out a little bit, and they kind of learned together as the spring went along. The one good thing about this, usually when you bring in a new defensive coordinator, it's because your defense was bad the year before. They brought in a new defensive coordinator because they lost theirs, but this is a good defense. This has some very quality returning players, and so I'm of the opinion this defense doesn't take near as big a step back as a lot of people think, because if you add it up, eight starters, three new coaches, that kind of math doesn't add up to a good season, but I really think that there's more here than meets the eye.
Part of it, I think the optimism you've got is the kind of the way DJ Elliott approached this. He could have come in and said, you know what, I'm going to, you know, reinvent the wheel here, and he didn't do that. He came in and tried to kind of, you know, if you will, just kind of fill in the cracks and be a guy that didn't create a lot of ripples, if you will. And I think the players, the guys that I've talked to, they've appreciated the fact that he came in and said, I'm going to be one of you guys. You don't have to be one of me.
Yeah, and I think that was a huge part of that right there, because they've been through this. Some of these guys, this is their third defensive coordinator. So they've had to learn on the fly a couple of years ago. They're not learning on the fly this time around. They know their defense. They know what the calls are. They know what the scheme is. They know what the terminology is. And what DJ and Shadon Brown and Ross Ellis had to do this spring, they had to learn the personnel. That was maybe one of the biggest things they had to do was, okay, where does our personnel fit into this scheme? Who are going to be the guys that are going to be making plays for us? How are we going to develop that talent that we have? And so it's been a very smooth transition, just watching in the spring and then watching over the summer as the players had some of their workouts. I think it's been a very smooth transition. And again, I think this defense has a chance to be pretty good.
But how do you replace all those NFL guys? I mean, what do you think of Chido Awuzie and some of the outstanding, Kelly Witherspoon and the NFL caliber talent they lost, Jordan Carroll up front? You do wonder how these young guys are going to perform once they get in there and replace NFL caliber guys.
Oh, I think it's, you know, you don't replace four NFL draft picks just by snapping your fingers. But I will say this, a year ago, did you think Jordan Carroll was going to be an NFL draft pick? Did you know who Akella Witherspoon was a year ago? I mean, this is a guy that just kind of burst onto the scene. He'd been a starter the year before, but had made his share of mistakes. And all of a sudden last year, he comes into just, you know, being, you know, a terrific player to where he ends up getting selected in the third round. I think you're going to see guys on this staff, or on this team. Isaiah Oliver is technically not a returning starter. Isaiah Oliver might be, before his career is done here, he might be a first-round draft pick. So there are some numbers here when you talk about returning starters. Technically, there are only three. That doesn't include Isaiah Oliver, who is technically not a returning starter. It doesn't include Derek McCartney, who technically is not a returning starter, but might be, you know, a defensive playmaker that they really, really need. It doesn't include Leo Jackson, who started throughout all of 2015, but didn't start last year. So there's more there than meets the eye when you talk about defensive talent.
You mentioned Derek McCartney. I think he's a guy that it could be a catalyst to greatness on this team. We all know what he is from a character standpoint. It was unfortunate when he got hurt last year at Michigan. I think the addition of him, because they really covered up a flaw in that defense last year, not having him out there. Ryan Moeller did a great job kind of covering that, if you will, having that liability out there with not having Derek McCartney. I think he, though, having him back, could be a real difference maker for Colorado.
Derek McCartney is a playmaker. If you go back and look and see what Derek McCartney has done over the years, he comes up with big sacks. Don't forget that in the last game we saw him play at Michigan, he knew when Chido was coming off the edge for that sack on the Michigan quarterback, he was there to pick up the fumble and score the touchdown. He's the one that had the interception at Hawaii a couple years ago that kept him in the game when it looked like things were going to get out of hand in a hurry. Derek McCartney is a playmaker. He has great football bloodlines. I don't think anybody can argue about that. He's a very smart player. He's not going to get beat on the same thing twice, and I think you're right. Derek is a guy that was elected team captain. The players love him. They respect him, and he's a playmaker. He's a guy that's going to come off that edge that can sack the quarterback, that can play the run, and that can drop into coverage when necessary. And so I think Derek has the chance to be one of those guys that is a difference maker on the field that the other team is going to figure out. They have to know how to contain Derek McCartney every game.
He's the guy that I would pick and say that there's maybe the guy that maybe because he wasn't playing last year, fans wouldn't think of him right away, that could have a huge year? Is there somebody on the defensive side that you think could have a monster season that maybe doesn't come to mind right away?
Well, you know, it's funny because he's been a two-year starter, but I love Rick Gamboa. And there are a lot of very divergent opinions on Rick, but I think Rick Gamboa is poised to have just an excellent, excellent year. Rick is one of the headiest ball players around. He knows that scheme. He knows the system inside and out. Rick is poised to be one of the guys this year that could lead this team in tackles, that could have a great season against the run, and he's improved his pass coverage dramatically. The other guy is his fellow inside linebacker, Drew Lewis. Drew is a guy that got a few – I think he played about 100 snaps last year. Drew has great speed, great athleticism, and is a guy that's going to step in and take Kenneth Olabode's place, and I think be just the kind of player that Kenneth Olabode was.
He's one of those guys, speaking of Drew Lewis, that flashes when he's on the field. And even though he played limited snaps a year ago, he flashed on occasion. How about the defensive front, though? You talked about Jordan Carroll not being there, Josh Tupou not being there. That's some large human beings they got to replace up front. And that defensive front will set the tone for what they do in the back end. What about that unit?
Well, you said large human beings. Let's start with Javi Edwards right there. Javi came in at about 6'3", 380 pounds. He should be down around 365, 370 by the time the season starts. Javi is a large human being, and just having him in there on first and second down, run plays, he's going to be a run stopper. He's going to be a guy that everybody has to contend with. Extremely powerful lower body, a guy that it's going to be very hard for other teams to move. I keep on joking that he should come with his own detour sign because it's not going to be a guy that you're going to get around very easily. So I think that's a great start right there is Javi Edwards up front.
So we'll wrap up our conversation about the defensive side of the ball. You know, last year, Folsom Field, the atmosphere was really back from a crowd standpoint, from an atmosphere, from an energy standpoint, obviously. And the season ticket numbers were up a little bit. I know that's something that the University of Colorado continues to push. There's some great benefits. And that schedule is going to be a lot of fun at Folsom Field this year.
Oh, I think, you're going to see two top 10 teams. Going into the season, Washington and USC are both going to be ranked in the top 10 in the nation. If you get season tickets, you get a chance to see two of the top 10 teams in the nation come to Folsom and play, and you're going to see a Colorado team that's going to compete with them. This is not just going to go watch Washington and USC. You're going to go watch Colorado compete with two of those top 10 teams and hopefully get a win. So right there, I think that's a huge,
benefit to be with.
Thank you. That's a huge benefit to having season tickets. You can also the season ticket package includes CSU tickets. If you're one of those people, we'd love to see you down at that CSU game. The CSU game is very important because it's half and half. It's like a road game the whole time. Half that stadium is CSU fans, half is Colorado fans, so it's loud, it's big, it's exciting the whole time. We'd love to see you there. But we understand that some people don't want to go to Denver to watch Colorado play. If you don't, you can exchange those tickets for a later game. You can take your CSU tickets and you can exchange them for a later game. And that's a big plus to having season tickets. Colorado, when Rick George got here, he has done his best to try and make it as fan-friendly as possible. You want to change your tickets. You can't make it to a game time. We understand that, sometimes there's going to be a 7 o'clock night kickoff. Well, if there is and you can't make it with your family, exchange them for another game. And I think that our administration here has done a great job in understanding those type of things with games. So go ahead and take advantage of that. But there are a ton of advantages to having season tickets here. And I think this year's schedule plus the ability to kind of mix and match and do those kind of things, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, without question. Buffs are back. Get those season tickets. If you can't commit to season tickets, that just doesn't quite fit your bill. Three-game pack, your plan is available starting at just $86. And single-game tickets recently went on sale for all six home games and CSU. Also, if you have a group of 20 or more, you can get discounted group. So go to CUBuffs.com or call 303-492-8282. 303-492-8282 and get your season tickets, your three-game pack for the upcoming year. All right, as we continue on Buffs Insider, Neil Welk from CUBuffs.com, voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson here. Let's flip over to the offensive side. You think of that team a year ago. That defense was so dominating, and the offense did enough, obviously, to get them to 10 wins. Maybe a little bit more, I don't want to say pressure, but responsibility on the offensive side in 2017?
Oh, I think that's you know, a very fair statement when you talk about, you know, responsibility. The script is almost flipped. A year ago, we knew that defense was going to be good. Everybody counted on it. Everybody kind of figured that that would be the unit that would carry them through tough times, through adversity. A 10-5 win over Stanford, you know, 2013 against UCLA when they have to have defense. This year, I think that flips a little bit. The offense is the one that everybody's going to be counting on to win the game. I mean, maybe they have to outscore people 42-28. I still think the defense is going to be better than people think. But the offense has the chance to be terrific. This is as good of a CU offense as I have seen in a long time. And I don't want to tell you how long I've been watching CU football, but this has the potential to be a very good offense.
Well, you take away a four-year starter, three-year captain, Seth Alufau, owns virtually every record here, passing at the University of Colorado. That puts a very heavy weight on the shoulders of what will be redshirt sophomore, Steven Montez. We saw him start, a couple of games a year ago. He came in reserve a couple of times. All of the intangibles are there. All the measurables are there, I should say. I mean, he's got the arm. He's got swagger. He's got the confidence of this team. But it's a different deal now. When you know that you're the guy, Cepho's not back, they're going to bail you out at any point in time. It is now Steven Montez's team, isn't it?
He's not playing with house money anymore. You know, if you want to put it in those kind of terms, yeah, that's right. He's the guy. He's the leader. He's the guy that everybody's dependent on. He knows that there's a lot of pressure to go out and win games, but I think he's a kid that can handle that kind of pressure. I think he actually invites it. I think he loves it. I think he loves the fact that he's going to be stepping into that kind of situation. And I go back to that Oregon game a year ago. That came on the heels of an 0-for-7 performance against Michigan. I don't know if you remember when he went in there. He did not look comfortable. He did not look like he wanted to be out there almost, and he did not have a good game. 1 week later, he takes all the snaps through practice. He's ready to go out against Oregon. And I remember sitting with you in the press box before the game, and we're talking about, well, what happens if Steven Montez starts? And I said, you know what? I think the kid can play. And you gave me this look like, did you see the Michigan game, Neil? But he went out and had a very good game, and that's the kind of kid he is. And I think he invites that pressure. I think he likes it. I think he likes the idea that he's going to be the centerpiece of that offense and that he's going to be the guy carrying the load. And I think he's got the head, you know, between the years as well as the body to take care of it.
Well, it also doesn't hurt that this might be the most talented offensive lineup that the Buffs have had. Well, maybe since I've been here. I mean, I think back early on when Gary was still coaching, there were some pretty talented teams that came through. But let's jump to we're going to hit the receivers, which might be one of the top receiving corps in the country. Let's start up front. This might be as solid a line as the Buffs have had, I think probably going back to when they sold to Ryan Miller, that group was coming through here, I would think.
Oh, no doubt. It's a very experienced offensive line. There's guys on there that people are looking at already, you know, picking as being potential NFL draft choices, starting with Jeremy Irwin, who this is his sixth year. If you want to know how long Jeremy Irwin has been here, he was recruited by John Embry.
He's been here longer than I have.
and that, you know, he's a great anchor at that left tackle spot. I mean, he's a guy that they all look to. He's been a leader all through the summer off-season conditioning workouts. But they're experienced all the way through. There's not a guy on that offensive line that hasn't started at least a handful of games, probably 10 or 12 or 15. So by far the best offensive line, like you said, since going back to the Nate Solder days. And very experienced. Showed what they could do a year ago, and I think this will be a much better offensive line than a year ago.
The best friend a young quarterback can have is a good running attack. So we talk about an offensive line being solid, being big, being strong up front, being sound fundamentally. Philip Lindsay, and listen, Philip Lindsay is one of my favorite players. The intensity he plays with, the way he just bleeds black and gold is so infectious. And I had to kind of chuckle. He's been getting on a number of preseason awards lists. It's amazing what happened. He's still the same great player he was a year ago. But now after a 10-win season, everyone else in the country is starting to take notice.
Everybody's kind of starting to see that Philip Lindsay is a special kid and a special player. I mean, he ran for almost 1,200 yards last year, caught 40-something passes for another 400 yards, scored 16 touchdowns, and he's going to be better this year. He's going to be better behind a better offensive line. And the thing about Philip is that offensive line loves to block for Philip Lindsay. And I had several of the linemen over the summer, Jonathan Huckins, Jared Coe, Jeremy Irwin, tell me that they would rather block for Philip Lindsay than any other running back in the nation, because after every big gain that he makes, he comes back to the huddle and says, hey, couldn't have done that without you, man. Thanks so much. That was great. And if you'll remember the Arizona State game, he had 100-and-something yards, 75-yard touchdown to open the second half. He gets invited up to the post-game press conference. What does he do? Brings that whole offensive line with him. Every one of those guys sat up at that press conference, and that's why they like him. And I tell you what, that means a lot to those offensive line. When you want to block for that guy, that's a big difference.
I want to block for Phillip Lindsay, for goodness sakes. He's so great. And by the way, had one of the lowest drop rates in terms of catching passes out of the backfield of any running back in America. Let's get to that receiving core. I mean, the names we all know, Bryce Bobo, Kavion Anto, Shea Fields, Juwan Winfrey, we're finally going to get a look at him. There's some young fellas in there as well. Is it as good as advertised, do you think?
It's better. Yeah. I think this wide receiving core has a chance to be as good as any Colorado has seen in a long, long time. And I'm talking about going back to the 90s teams that had Michael Westbrook and Charles Johnson and Ray Carruth and guys like that.
You better be careful. You're getting the blasphemy area now the way you're talking.
I'm not saying they're going to. They have a chance to be that good. They have a chance to have a season that Colorado, you know, offensive football hasn't seen. There are so many good players. Devin Ross led the team in receptions with 66. Shea Fields caught 840-something yards and 9 touchdowns. Jay McIntyre caught 30 passes. Phillip Lindsay caught 40-something passes. Kavion Anto averaged 21.8 yards per catch last year. Bryce Bobo, you know, we forget about Bryce Bobo, but Bryce Bobo, you know, had more time on SportsCenter than any of these guys. He's a money player down in the end zone. He's just one of those guys. Then you look at the young guys that are coming back. You mentioned Juwan Winfrey, who was probably their best receiver a year ago in camp for 2 weeks until he blew out a knee. You've got a ton of really talented freshmen coming in. This is going to be a position battle in fall camp that is going to be more fun to watch than anything I can remember in a long time.
Is it safe to say, we think about the move from the Big 12 to the Pac-12 and the offensive and explosiveness and the speed that we saw, and it took Colorado a while to get up to speed offensively. Is this team right now got itself where it is a Pac-12 offense? It can be as explosive as anybody in the country or in a conference.
No doubt. No doubt. I think if you look at what Steven Montez brings to the table, the ability to make plays on the run, the ability to make plays from the pocket, make plays on his own, he's always going to be a running threat. You have to be ready for that. Phillip Lindsay being back there. And then when you've got that big offensive line up front, experience, they know what they're doing. They're used to this scheme. And then you've got all those wide receivers. The sky's the limit for this offense, and I'll let you talk about this. Don't forget, this is just the second year of the Darren Cheverini-Brian Lindgren offensive coordinator combination.
That has worked very well. I wondered, when they put those two guys together, they are so entirely different human beings. Brian is more of he likes to sit in cerebral and move the pieces around. He's like a scientist over there. And Chev, obviously, is just, you know, got his hair on. Well, I don't have any hair, but if he had hair, he'd be on fire all the time, right? And it's amazing how they have mixed and how they've co-offensive coordinated this offense. It's been amazing.
Yeah, I think it's a great combination, because if you ask about, you know, describe CU's offensive coordinator, well, he's a very cerebral, emotional, wild man who loves to call plays on the sidelines, who watches things from the box, very calm, measured individual who's also just a crazy guy. That's who it is. Now, it's half and half, but it's a great combination. If you saw what happened last year, the players are committed to what they're doing, and I think it's turned out to be, you know, another great call on Mike McIntyre's position. And what's interesting is we're talking about all these assistant coaches, but you know, time after time, Mike McIntyre has made the right move as far as his coaching staff goes.
Yeah, boy, a lot of excitement for 2017 as we're putting a wrap on our first episode of Buffs Insider, our weekly podcast here at CUBuffs.com, along with Neil Welk, Mark Johnson. One more time, let me just plug kind of the events coming up. We've got the kickoff luncheon coming up Friday, August 25th, the Baltz Fieldhouse. Always a great event. Go to CUBuffs.com/events. Tickets start at just $35. Corporate tables at $350. We talked about the season tickets as well. Gang, this is going to be a great season for the Colorado Buffaloes. They were unblemished at Folsom Field a year ago. Get on the phone, 303-492-8282, CUBuffs.com/tickets, and get your tickets, three-game packs, season tickets, single-game tickets. They're all right there. Give me a game that you look at that schedule and say, I can't wait till we watch that matchup for the Buffaloes.
Well, I always like the first one, CSU. That's always a lot of fun. I can't wait for that one. But if you're – if the game that I really want to see, the game that I'm really excited about seeing is the fourth week of the season. Washington comes to town. They'll be a top 10 team almost assuredly by then. And if you want to get a scale of how good Colorado's going to be, boy, that's your barometer right there. That's your measuring stick. That will tell us a lot, I think, about Colorado football when Washington comes to town.
Well, that puts a wrap on episode number one of our Buffs Insider with Neil Welk. I'm Mark Johnson. Be looking on all the social media platforms, live updates following practices. We got podcasts. We've got, of course, Neil's great articles that he's writing at CUBuffs.com. We're going to cover the camp like nobody else as we put a wrap on Buffs Insider. For Neil, I'm Mark. We'll talk to you next week. Neil, I'm Mark. We'll talk to you next week. Neil, I'm Mark. We'll talk to you next week. Neil, I'm Mark. We'll talk.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.